Yes, let's start. Hi everyone, we are super excited to be here today to talk about Flatcar Container Linux, what's new in this operating system. So in this talk, we are going to give a brief introduction of Flatcar. What is it? How does it work? The main mechanism for this operating system. Then we will see what's new, what we've been working in the last years on this operating system, and what are the outlook of the future of Flatcar Container Linux. So I hope everyone can hear me correctly. Thanks again, Froshcon, for having us and to give us the opportunity to share this talk with you. We are super happy. Before going further, let's quickly introduce ourselves. Today I won't be alone, I will be with Julian. Maybe you can introduce quickly.
For sure. Hi, I'm Julian. I work on the open source integrations at Hetzner. And in my free time, I like to torture myself by running my own Kubernetes cluster.
Thanks a lot. And hi. Hallo, ich bin Mathieu. Ich arbeite mit Microsoft. But I will continue in English because I'm not German, as you can hear. And I work on Flatcar-related topics. So every Flatcar features, I'm involved on also testing the operating system and working on transversal topics like Cluster API, for example. On my free time, I volunteer in an association which is SA Reference, and we organize DevOps meetups, but also bigger events. So that's it. Now, Flatcar. What is Flatcar again? So, briefly before continue, can you please raise your hand if you know Flatcar just by the name? Okay. If you use Flatcar for personal or professional? And if you would be interested to use it, depending on the outcome of this talk. Okay, great. What is Flatcar again? Like, so we have everyone on the same page. So Flatcar is a Linux-based operating system, and it's designed to run containers. So nothing more, nothing less. So everything you need to run containers, Docker containers, Containerd, is already available on the system, so you can just use it, SSH into an instance and run your containers. Can be single containers or can be bigger workloads with Kubernetes, for example. Flatcar is a immutable system, so it means that the slash /usr is a read-only partition, so it means you can't write nothing in this partition. So slash user bin, slash user lib, everything is read-only. You can't modify anything, so all the binaries and the libraries are here, and you can't modify it. It's DMV retry protected, so if someone modify this file system, the instance won't be able to boot. There is no package manager neither, so let's see that in a second. And the last key mechanism of Flatcar is there is automated update. So once you've deployed a Flatcar instance, by default, it would pull automatically the updates of Flatcar. So every month, we have a new Flatcar release. Every month, you get your instance to be automatically updated. It's by default, and of course, you can configure it. So what does it mean, containers ready? As I said, you can run single containers or bigger workloads. So this is an example on the red text. It's Nginx Docker containers. It's deployed with systemd unit, so this is one way to deploy a container. We also have Podman, for example, so this is an example with Quadlet. So if you want to deploy Podman containers during the boot of your instance, you can. And there is also Kubernetes workloads if you want to deploy bigger workloads. So Flatcar can be used as a node operating system for your nodes in your Kubernetes cluster. So you can. By default, there is no package manager. So this is an example. It's better to show a screenshot. So you can't just run apt, emails, whatever, UM, DNF, all the package manager, because there is no package manager on Flatcar. So that's a bit confusing at first because, how can I install my favorite software? How can I install HTOP, for example? So that's a bit disturbing. So the idea behind this is to prevent users to create some drift of your configuration, which means if tomorrow I install Ubuntu, I install all my software provision with Ansible, whatever, and there is a new Ubuntu update, major update, I will need all to reinstall everything, or some things will break, and so on and so forth. So with Flatcar, we decided that, There is the generic image that we provide from the release server, and once it's deployed on an instance, the user won't be able to modify it, so he won't get drift, configuration drift. So that's the point with the package manager. So if you need to run something, run it as a container. And there is, okay, as I said, the slash /usr is read-only, so you can see that I'm trying to write some file in slash /user slash /foo. So even as a sudo, I can't write my file, but the rest of the system is writable. So that's pretty convenient if you want to keep your containers around across the reboot, across an update. So yeah, that's important to know that only slash /user is read-only. So one good question can be, okay, I deploy my instance, but there is no package manager, so if there is a security issue, on one of my software, if there is a security issue for Docker, for example, or Containerd, how can I update Containerd or Docker because there is no package manager? Well, you need to rely on the community effort and the maintainer's effort to maintain the operating system. And if there is an issue with Docker, for example, it will be fixed in the next Flatcar release. And since Flatcar is automatically updated, you will get this new Flatcar release with this software updated. So let's have a look on how does it work under the hood for the release cycle. So let's have a quick look on the glossary and how things are working. So Flatcar releases are divided into channels. So this is the alpha channels, the beta channels, and the stable channels. So the name is pretty self-explanatory. So for the alpha channels, this is the all new features, the new providers, the new things that we ship with Flatcar, and can be incomplete development, but yeah, it's usable. But I would not recommend to use alpha nodes into your workload. Then we have the beta. So the beta is considered stable enough to run your workload. And we often recommend users to run a few beta nodes into your Kubernetes cluster or into your deployment to, yeah, be able to identify if there is any regression before it reaches stable. And you can see that at each release, so every month, there is a promotion. So the alpha becomes beta, and after a few weeks, a few months, the beta becomes stable. So that's really good, because when you have something stable, it means it has been in beta since a while, and in alpha since a while. So that's a good way to prevent any regression to reach stable and to break your workloads. Because with Flatcar, we really try to get the best user experience and to not break things. So yeah, one way to contribute to Flatcar without developing is to run beta nodes into your workloads and to raise an issue if you have something that breaks into beta, and it will be fixed and it will be available in the next beta, and you will say, okay, it fixed my issue and now I can go to stable. So every Flatcar release has a channel, alpha, beta, stable. There is also LTS. The name is self-explanatory for LTS, so it's a golden stable, we could say. And so we have a channels and we have the version number. So let's have a look to a version number. So this is an example with regular Flatcar version number. So it's three numbers. It's not semver, it's almost, but you can see that the first digit is really big. So what does it mean? It's basically the number of days since the first CoreOS release, because Flatcar is and was a friendly fork of CoreOS. So if you know CoreOS, which has been acquired by Red Hat a few years ago, so at this time, CoreOS has been forked, it became Flatcar. But yeah, so this is the number of days since the first CoreOS release. So you can try to calculate, it's almost 10, 11 years since CoreOS and Flatcar are existing. Then we have a second number, which is this 2. This is the minor number. And it just shows you the promotion level. So I mentioned there is alpha, beta, stable, LTS. So this number will just give you the indication regarding which promotion level are we. So in this example, it's 2, and 2 means stable. And the final number, which is the patch or the maintenance level, will just indicate that this release has been patched or has been maintained in the last release. So it means we just bring you a really small updates, for example, the kernel, for example, certificates, for example, software updates. So this is a maintenance level. And that's nothing else to say about this. So now let's have a quick look to actual release numbers. So the first one, it's 2 5.5, which means it's a stable maintenance release. The second one, it's 4012.0.0, which means it's a new major alpha. So now let's do a quick game, not a game, but yeah. Who can say what is the third version number? So we have 1.1. So what does it mean? Yes, that is correct. And the last one, it's 3.18. Yes. So usually with LTS, the patch level is really high because with LTS, we just patch the kernel and really, really critical issues. But usually it's just the kernel. And since the LTS are here for 18 months, well, there is a lot of maintenance release. So now you know everything about Flatcar release number. So next time you go on the flatcar.org website and you see a release number, well, you know what's behind now. We just demystified the version number. Really quickly, for the first number, so the big one, it seems that it's useless at this point because we didn't mention it, but it's not actually. Because, for example, if there is a new feature that comes into that new major alpha, so it's 4012.0.0, it means that every version number greater than this one will get this new feature. And every version number lower than this big number won't get this feature. So this can be helpful for this kind of situation. All right. So now let's SSH into an instance and see what does it look in this file. I mentioned there is automatically update. So how does it look like? By default, you have this file, and there is two information. So the first one is a server address. This is where I'm going to check if there is a new Flatcar release. And the second one is the group of a channel. So now you know everything about the channel, so you know that this one is an alpha release. So I'm going. So this instance is going to check every hour if there is a new release for the alpha channel on this update server. So this is by default. So the Flatcar team is providing a public update server. This is an open source solution, so you can decide to get your own update server if you want to. So that's pretty helpful if in your company or if you're in your lab at home, you want to control the update and you want to control when you want to deploy an update to your Flatcar fleet. But by default, this is the configuration, and every hour your instance will check, hey, is there a new release? Yes, okay, I'm going to download it, and I'm going to reboot, and that's it. My Flatcar instance has been updated. So yeah, this is an example of how it can be useful. You all know that a few weeks ago, there is this CVE, so a security issue with OpenSSH. So it has been announced on Monday, a public announcement on the mailing list. And on Tuesday, Flatcar release was done. So automatically, all the Flatcar users that was using the public update server were safe against this vulnerability. This is a screenshot on the Matrix chat, the public Matrix chat that we have, that someone was happy to get the Flatcar instance to be safe against this vulnerability. But yeah, this is an example on how it can be helpful to get automatically the instance updated. Otherwise, you would need to SSH into all your instances to pull the new version of OpenSSH and so on and so forth. So with this, you can just be on vacation, forget about it, and it will be done automatically. Okay, so the system is immutable. So slash user is redundant, there is no package manager. So main question can be, how can I provision my system? How can I deploy my files? How can I deploy my containers on the Flatcar system? So we are using a software called Ignition. So Ignition is not only Flatcar. It's not only used by Flatcar. It's also used by Fedora OS, by Micro OS from OpenSUSE. So yeah, it's not only Flatcar related. So if you try to learn Ignition, it can be helpful for other container Linux operating system. Ignition runs can be seen as a cloud init alternative. So you might know cloud init. What is it? How does it work? So it can be seen as a cloud init alternative, and it runs on the first boot. So once the instance has boot and has been successfully provisioned, Ignition won't run anymore. That's pretty convenient because you don't need to put some condition. If it's my first boot, do something, otherwise do something else. It just runs on first boot. And Ignition is a simple binary compiled and available in the init RAM file system. So it's executed really early during the boot of the instance, so you can do really low-level operation, for example, injecting or removing kernel parameters or formatting some file system on the instance. You can do really low-level operation, but on top of usual operation, for example, adding SSH public key, creating a files, enabling a systemd unit. Ignition is a declarative JSON configuration, but no one likes to write JSON. So the CoreOS folks have designed a tool which is called Butane, and it helps you to transpile YAML configuration to JSON. So let's have a look now. How does it look like? So you have a YAML configuration. In this configuration, I just add SSH public key for the core user. I'm enabling the foo.service, systemd service, and I'm creating the file etc crony.conf with some custom configuration. Okay, that's fine. Now I'm going to use Butane to transpile. So this is exactly the command line you should write. I'm feeding the config.yaml, and in output, I have my config.json, which is pretty convenient because if I have an issue in my initial provisioning, Butane will tell me, hey, this keyword does not exist in Ignition. Try again and fix your stuff. And it also brings some syntactic sugar that can be helpful when you need to provision those things. Something quite interesting to note is that Butane configuration has a Terraform provider, so you can easily integrate Terraform with Butane Ignition in your infrastructure as code code base. So that's pretty convenient to get all the Terraform ecosystem using Butane and stuff like that. Okay, so that was the key mechanism of Flatcar, like, so we have everyone on the same page. The main features, so now let's see what's new, what was the latest development on this operating system in the last years. So first of all, Cluster API. Who knows what is Cluster API by name, just by name? All right, so this is the TLDR, and you know Cluster API now. Deploy Kubernetes from Kubernetes. So as I said, Flatcar can be really useful to be used as a Kubernetes node because everything is already available to run containers. So that's a perfect candidate to run Kubernetes workloads. So Cluster API is a project, a sub-project from Kubernetes organization that helps you to deploy Kubernetes from Kubernetes. So that's a bit brainfuck, but it is what it is, and it's pretty convenient to use. So what does it mean? We bring Flatcar support on Cluster API. It means that we teach to Cluster API to use Ignition. Because Cluster API is going to take care of everything to get your Kubernetes cluster up and running on a given cloud provider. So it's going to create the networks, it's going to create the security groups, but it's going to create the instances too. And Flatcar instances need Ignition to get provisioned. So we teach Cluster API to use Ignition provisioning to deploy Ignition-based operating system, Fedora CoreOS, Works 2, or MicroOS. We also provide some official Flatcar templates. So this is an example of the templates we do provide for those specific cloud providers. So it's available on the main cloud provider, but also on OpenStack, also on Tinkerbell for bare metal deployment. If you want to deploy Kubernetes cluster on bare metal, that works. And the last three ones, so Azure, OpenStack, and Akamai Linode, as a specific feature. So they use systemd sysx to deploy things. So that's a new feature that we've been working on. So it's not specific to Flatcar. Systemd sysx is a feature developed by systemd folks. So I'm sorry if you are against systemd or whatever. But that's a pretty convenient tool, systemd sysx, that allows you to mount SquashFS images as overlay fs on slash user. So remember, with Flatcar, slash user is read-only, so I can't write nothing on it. So how can I extend the system if I want to bring my own binaries, or if I want to bring my own kernel modules or stuff like that? Yeah, I'm going to use systemd sysx. So this is a hope, for example, we ship ZFS on Flatcar. Because we don't ship ZFS built-in in Flatcar, we ship it as a systemd CSX. So this is an example of what's inside the box in a systemd CSX. So on the left, you have the Flatcar ZFS that I'm dissecting to show what's inside. So it's user, bin, lib, so everything I need to run ZFS tools. So there's the libraries, there's systemd units, there is kernel modules, there is libraries, and yeah, binaries. So now get back to Flatcar instance, ZFS version, no such file or directory, ZFS is not installed at all. So I'm just going to pull this ZFS image, sysdo systemd CSX merge or refresh, whatever, and it's going to merge that squashfs image on slash user, and this is how I can extend the immutable with systemd CSX. Now ZFS version returns something, and I can see it if I try to see what's mounted on slash user, there is an overlay file system, which is my systemd CSX. So that's really convenient, and my systemd CSX, my slash user is still in read-only. Something interesting to notice is when I write the sysdo systemd CSX merge command, I see that there is the using extension containerd flatcar, docker flatcar, flatcar ZFS, and OEM QEMU, which means that containerd and docker are provided as systemd CSX on Flatcar by default. So when you SSH into a Flatcar instance and you type your favorite Docker commands or containerd commands, it's used under the hood systemd CSX. And that's convenient because it's only a squashfs image. So if I remove the squashfs image from the system, I just remove the software behind. So for example, I can boot an instance by dropping the Docker systemd CSX and Docker is not available anymore on my system. So what's the point? Well, if you run Kubernetes cluster, you don't need Docker, you just need containerd by default. So yeah, I'm going to decrease the attack surface of my system and just drop Docker. So it doesn't mean that Docker is not running, it means that Docker binaries, libraries, everything is not available on the system. So now I can see I can pull Nginx, do my stuff with containerd socket. But what if now I want to remove containerd because I don't want Docker, I don't want containerd, I just want to use Cryo, for example, container runtime interface for Kubernetes. Well, I can do exactly the same thing. I'm going to remove the built-in CSX for Docker, the built-in CSX for containerd, and yeah, I'm going to pull the Cryo CSX, and that's it. I have Cryo running on my system, and Kubernetes is happy. So how does it look like now from the provisioning point of view? Yeah, this is just a few lines of butane because you know butane now and you know provisioning with ignition. So I'm just going to remove the slash etc extension docker flatcar, slash etc extension containerd flatcar. So I'm going to drop them and I'm going to pull the cryo CSX image. So it's only almost 10 lines of code to generate this configuration. And this is what we call composable images. Because you have Flatcar, but you can decide, okay, I don't want Docker, I don't want containerd, I want this one, and so on and so forth. So since a few months, now we do provide, for example, Python CSX image. Like so, you get Python on your system if you want to. We provide Podman as a CSX extension. Like so, you can get, if you don't want Docker or containerd, but you want Podman, you can. That's totally available. So yeah, this is what we've been working on the systemd CSX side, and that's pretty interesting because we've been contributing with systemd folks on this topic, and yeah, we try to give the best user experience for everyone on this topic. Something else we've been working on recently was the vendors support. So Flatcar is supported on many cloud providers. It's also supported on ARM64 or Bare Metal. But yeah, recently we've been trying to reach to get Flatcar to work on more providers, like so users can use Flatcar on their favorite cloud provider. So we've been working on Scaleway support, for example, on Brightbox support, which is a UK cloud provider, and also Hetzner. So yeah, let's have a look to Hetzner support and see how things are working.
Yeah, at KubeCon, Matthew approached me and convinced me that Flatcar is something awesome, and I had to agree. So I started working on integrating it in Hetzner, Hetzner Cloud. And yeah, we landed the first pull requests in May of this year. And since 2 weeks ago, Hetzner images are now even available on Flatcar Stable. Today we're going to first take a look at how how you can use them, and then we are going to talk about the steps that it took to get there. A quick background on Hetzner. We are a German hosting provider. We have 3 data center parks in Europe, as well as 3 cloud-only locations in the US and Singapore. And Hetzner Cloud is an infrastructure as a service provider, so we have virtual machines, block storage, load balancers, private networks, the basic building blocks for cloud infrastructure. So the first step when you want to run Flatcar on Hetzner Cloud is you need the Flatcar image available in your project. We don't offer it as an official image right now. We don't offer it. Is the microphone working?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay. We don't offer it as an official image right now. And also, there is no API to directly upload images. What we do have is a feature called snapshots, where you can take a snapshot of the root disk of a server and then create more servers from it. So to upload any image that you want, you can create a server, never start it, boot it into rescue, SSH in, overwrite the root disk, then shut it down and copy the disk and then start new servers from it. Lots of steps. So there are 2 tools that can help you with that. The first one is HashiCorp Packer, and the second one is a little CLI I wrote called hCloud Upload Image, which does just as the name says. So let's get into the demo here. I hope you can read that. Make that. Now I need to copy a lot of things over. For the demo, I've decided to use the hCloud Upload Image tool just because it requires a lot less configuration than the Packer one, where you need a config file of like 60 to 100 lines. To get started, we need to get a token for the Hetzner Cloud API. So we will export that. I'm just going to copy it from my local config file here that I have. And then we need to set the channel of Flatcar that we want to use. So we're going to say export channel equals stable. And then we need the URL where the image is available. We're going to upload it directly or download it directly from the Flatcar CDN. Let's just get it from the history. we're going to use the ARM image here. And then we can call hCloud upload image, tell it which architecture to use, what is the compression, where it can find the image URL, and give it a description that will be shown in the API later. We can start this, but I'm going to abort it here because this is going to take a few minutes and I don't want to bore you, so I already uploaded an AMD 64 image before. Next, we can take a look at the configuration because our server should do something interesting. So I provided here a little Nginx example. It's a butane configuration. We can see that we are going to create a systemd unit called Nginx service. We can see here that it's going to run a container with Docker. And we mount a local directory in there. And before starting, we are going to write this little text here into the index.html. You can see that we use a placeholder variable here, Koro as Hetzner hostname, and that's from this environment file up here. And we're going to talk a little bit later about this. This is from Afterburn, which is another tool which we're going to take a look at in a few slides. So let's write that file, and then we're going to use butane to read that file and transpile it to Ignition. We can take a look at the Ignition file here, and you can see why you don't want to write JSON, because once you have something like a multi-line string, it gets really painful. Okay. We basically have all the building blocks ready. From now on, we are going to continue with the official Hetzner Cloud CLI tool, and we're going to check out which ID our snapshot has, because we need that to create the server. So we're going to say, give us the image list of type snapshot. And here we can see yeah, the line doesn't break gracefully, but we can copy the ID here and save that into a variable. So snapshot ID equals our ID. We're also going to need an SSH key. I'm just going to use one I uploaded earlier that's configured on this laptop. And then we can create the server. For that, yeah, as I said, we're going to use the official CLI and run hCloud server. Yes, that's the one. hCloud server create. We're going to give it the name Flatcar test, specify which type of VM, where it's running, and also pass in the image, the SSH key, and a reference to our ignition config. Now, because this isn't an official image, it needs to be copied over from wherever the snapshot is stored onto the physical server running our VM. This is going to take a minute to a minute and a half with the image size of Flatcar. Are there any questions yet that we can tackle already? Okay. Yes. Let's hope. yeah, here you can see that the instance is being created. You also see the other instance that is from when I used hCloud upload image to start it, which is now kind of stuck and waiting for someone to clean it up. Which is one of the reasons why this isn't an official tool, but rather my private tool, because it has the potential to just cost you some money. And there we see that our instance reached 100% and is now booting. And here we can see that it is already finished booting. So now, well, finished booting, it started the server and is now booting. And we can go in here and use curl to see if it is running. And yes, we can see that the Nginx successfully responded, and also the placeholder was replaced with our hostname. We can also SSH into the server. It's hCloud server SSH. Yeah, I should just copy what I have here. We definitely trust the server, and we are in, and we can verify that it is our Nginx running. We can run systemctl status nginx.service, and we see that the service is running. So that's for the demo part. Let's get back to the presentation. So what does it take to add your new platform to Flatcar? The first step is to open an issue on the Flatcar repository. And then probably a friendly maintainer is going to drop by and give you this list of tasks. This is a snapshot, a screenshot from the Hetzner support issue. And yeah, we are going to talk about each of those steps in order to tell you a little bit about it. As you can see, we haven't finished all of it for Hetzner yet. We are still in the final touches to the test code. So it is officially validated that everything is working all the time. Yeah, before you start really doing any code, you should decide on a platform identifier. This, you probably have something in mind. Maybe CloudInit already has one for you. For users, it's really best if you use the same identifier across all the platforms, so they don't have to learn something new. So even if it is inside the container Linux ecosystem or outside of this. For us, for the Flatcar part here, this identifier is going to be used by a few different tools. And they should all agree on this identifier and use the same one, because otherwise you have to add nasty workarounds to make it work so everyone is on the same page. For us, we chose Hetzner as our identifier. A little preparation for the next slide. When a user creates a virtual machine with us on the web interface or through the API, they can choose a number of authorized SSH keys as well as arbitrary text in a field called user data. Both of these fields, as well as some others, are made available to the virtual machine through something called the metadata service, which is reachable, just an HTTP server reachable through a link local IPv4 address, so only this server gets the data about itself. This is nothing special about Hetzner. Literally every single cloud provider has something like this, possibly with another API, another path, but usually looking pretty similar. The first tool where we need to add support is Ignition. Matthew already talked about it. As a quick recap, on the first boot, Ignition reads a config file and applies it to the server. From our platform integration perspective, this means that the users somewhere need to be able to pass in arbitrary text, which is then made available to the server. In Ignition, we need to read this text from wherever we make it available, parse it, and then pass it to Ignition so it can apply the configuration. As mentioned in the last slide, with us, the user just has a user data field, which is then made available through the metadata service. So we just needed to make a single GET request to this endpoint, and with the helper methods provided from Ignition, that was nine lines of code, so nothing really major. Ignition is a CoreOS project, so really if you add this, you get three distributions for the price of one: Fedora CoreOS, OpenSUSE MicroOS, and Flatcar, plus the enterprise distributions of the previous two. Yeah, the second tool that we add support is Afterburn. In their docs, they describe themselves as a one-shot agent for cloud-like platforms. I have to admit, from this description, I really don't understand anything. But if we look a little bit closer at what it does, is that it is a CLI tool that reads various bits of information from the cloud-like platform and writes it to a number of files. This includes the host name, some network configuration, authorized SSH keys, and the so-called attributes that I teased earlier, which are key value pairs that each provider can set how they like. It also provides a boot check-in hook to signal the completed boot back to the cloud provider, who can make it available through an API. Same as Ignition, Afterburn is also a CoreOS project, which is used in Fedora CoreOS and Flatcar. So only two for the price of one here. Some example attributes that we have here are the availability zone, host name, some IP addresses, and the ID. These already demonstrated how one can use them for the HTML that we returned. Another use case that I saw was in cluster API, where some provider used these attributes to explicitly tell the kubelet what is the host name, which is the ID, so the provider ID in the node object, and what addresses the node will have, which helps a little bit with some of the heuristics in kubeadm kubelet that can sometimes fail, and if we have the data here, why not specify them? Yeah, now we have the external dependencies out of the way, so we can tell Flatcar to build images specific to our platform. How Flatcar is actually assembled is defined in the Flatcar/scripts repository on GitHub. There are many different parts in this, and the first one we're going to take a look at is the common OEM files. This is shared between a lot of different platforms. For us, what we really need from it is that it sets the kernel parameter during boot with the platform ID we decided on earlier. This will tell Ignition and Afterburn to use the Hetzner-specific logic and not some other provider. The next one is an OEM hyphen platform identifier, sysext. This will be built and bundled into the images specific to your platform and can contain additional programs or config files to enhance compatibility with your platform. Some examples here would be the Amazon SSM agent or the Windows Azure Linux agent. But we don't have anything like that, so for us it is just empty. The final config we need to touch is the VM image util shell script. This script defines which platforms Flatcar knows about, as well as which what kind of image should be built. Is it a raw disk image, QCOW2, some VMware-specific formats, and also which sysext and packages to install in images for this platform. With all the configuration out of the way, the next step is building our images and testing them. For this, Flatcar project provides an SDK as a container image, which is very nice because you don't have to install any other dependencies besides this SDK, some container runtime locally, and then everything happens in there. If you want to follow along, just check out the docs. It is very long and has a lot of details and better than I am here. So to build our image, we first start up the SDK container. This will put us into a shell inside the SDK container. Then we can build all the packages of the operating system again, or rather, mostly use the caches, but we needed to make some modification to some of the packages earlier. So this will rebuild them with our changes. Then we are going to build an image. This is a generic image that contains all the code, all the packages for all different platforms. So we need one more step to convert it into a specialized image for our platform. Image2VM strips any packages for other platforms and converts the image into the disk format we set in the VM image util shell script earlier. Hey, now we have the image, and you can upload it and test it on your cloud provider. See if it works. For me, I took a few approaches until it worked. So once you have this, just open a pull request and get some help from a maintainer to finalize getting to a runnable image. They have a lot of experience with Flatcar and can help with any issues you have. And yeah, that's it with building the image. Oh, the last step is to ask a maintainer to build a image in the Flatcar CI for you. This will help others test the image because then it is available from their image cache, so everyone can directly download it and they don't have to go through all these steps. And also it makes sure that the image can be built outside of your local caches if you made some changes but didn't commit them. This is the point where it will bubble up and be visible. Documentation. Cool new features don't really help anyone if your users don't know how to use them. So document how users can get going with your provider and how they can set up their first Flatcar server. The Flatcar website has a long section with all the cloud providers it supports, with tutorials for each and every one of them. So open a PR, add your things. Another thing, document which platform features work and which don't. It's really frustrating for a user if they are expecting some feature to work and it doesn't, and then they question their sanity and they are not really sure, is it me, is it the moon, why is this not working? For us, there were two things that didn't really work. So when you create a server on Hetzner Cloud, you can choose to add an SSH key, but you can also choose to not do that. And in that case, we generate a root password and configure it on that server through CloudInit, which doesn't work if the server doesn't have CloudInit. But we still send the email because our platform doesn't know that the server doesn't have CloudInit. So we needed to document that. And the second one is volume out amount. If a user wants to attach block storage to a server, they can check a check mark, and then the volume is automatically mounted at some deterministic path on the server through some UDEF rules magic, but this is also not implemented on Flatcar currently. So think about what features your platform provides and which don't yet work on Flatcar and add that to the documentation. The last part really is tests. You will spend a lot of time at first working on this and making sure that everything works, but at some point your manager is going to say, you got to stop working on that, you got other important stuff to do, and you can't check out every single Flatcar release and make sure that everything still works. For this, Flatcar has a large test suite for the operating system functionality called Mantle. And in this test suite, you can add a bunch of glue code to talk to your specific cloud API to create a server, set up SSH keys. And once that is done, this test suite can automatically run on your cloud provider and verify that everything still works before each Flatcar release. Consider to donate some resources to the Flatcar project for this. Talk to the money people at your company and ask them if they can set up some recurring credits for the Flatker project, so they can automatically run the test suite on your platform, and Matthew doesn't need to spend his pocket money to pay for this. Once you've done the test suite, this also means that your provider can be marked as an official provider versus a community-supported one, which also means that Flatker will run the test suite before each release, and if something comes up there and some feature doesn't work, then they won't do a release and first try to fix the bug before pushing out the release. Lastly, some general tips on working for this. Join the Matrix channel. There are all of the Flatker maintainers hanging around, lots of activity, and ask your questions. It can also help to find an experienced maintainer to help guide you through this process. I can really recommend Matthew. He was great, always answered my questions and pointed me in the right direction when I had some trouble. Invest in your dev setup. Building OS images, creating a server, uploading them, it takes a long time, and anything unnecessary in that process is just going to make you feel burned out from waiting a long time between each of your change when you make it and when it is being visible. So try to get the time as low as possible. And yeah, just general life advice, experiment. Try to make changes to the things you're doing and see what happens from them. Thank you very much. If you want to learn more or find out things about this, we're going to upload the slides in a few minutes. You can scan the QR code and also swing by the Flatker booth here at FrostCon. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. I'm not sure if we have some time for a few questions, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. So if you have a question, yeah, raise your hand. I'm going to give you the mic.
So as far as I have understood, you build all the packages yourself in your own infrastructure?
So for the packages, Flatker is based on Gentoo Linux. So we build every packages from sources using the Gentoo recipes that we call eBuild. So each time you bring a new packages into Flatker, yeah, it will be built from sources. So that's pretty convenient. Like, so we can inject some patches if something is broken, or for example, if there is a security issue and there is an embargo patch that we need to include in the build, we can easily do that. But yeah, everything is built from sources at each run.
Do you have SE Linux enabled?
So SE Linux is enabled by default in permissive mode. It's not enforced, it's permissive. So it won't affect your workload, but you get the AVC denials if there is something goes wrong. For now, only the containers that are labeled, so only the process running inside containers are labeled with the the container T type for SE Linux policy. So it's the SE Linux container policies, and we are working in, it's work in progress to get the whole system fully labeled to be able to use SE Linux in the good way. And for what is worth, all the tests are running with enforced SE Linux. But by default, it's permissive for the users. That answer your question?
I presume you can switch SE Linux to enforcing in Ignition.
Any other questions? No? All right. Thanks again, and have a great end of the day.
Thanks.